there was that expectation, seeing your child for the first time. There was an expectation of holding your child for the first time. I was scared to hold my child for the first time because of all the monitors and the beeping and the cords. And I was deathly afraid I was going to knock something over or break something. And I was going to hurt him. Feeding your child for the first time, you know, my son needed to, you know, to be tube fed when he was born. And I had to learn how to feed that tube down his nose and down his throat so that he could get food. Those were the kinds of things where I struggled with not having just a normal, you know, stepping into parenthood. I didn't have that normal experience.
Welcome. You're listening to the Love That Surpasses podcast. And I'm your host, Sarah Lowry.
And I'm your co-host, Megan Bushalon.
Take a seat and join in as we share our hearts and experiences surrounding parenthood, disabilities, and God's calling on our lives to live victoriously, fearlessly, and free.
You'll hear conversations about expectations, grief, jealousy, but also surrendering our lives and stepping into our God-given purpose with courage.
We're so glad you're here today, and we hope you feel abundantly loved because, well, you are.
Okay, guys, welcome back. Episode 2. Thanks for rejoining our podcast.
Yes, we're so, so glad that you're here. You've made it to episode 2. That's awesome. We're
this episode, it's titled Expecting Perfection. And what we really want to talk about on this episode is your hopes and dreams and how having a child who's different, has a diagnosis, how those can change. And so let's get started. Personally, I experienced this, you know, when I got the prenatal diagnosis for my son. I never realized how many hopes and dreams I had for him and our life that, I mean, I was 12 weeks pregnant. I didn't realize that I had so many things that I expected him to do. So that was just a really interesting process for me because I remember sitting there hours after receiving this prenatal diagnosis and thinking, he's never going to get married. He's never going to have children. I'm not going to have grandchildren from him. And who is 12 weeks pregnant with their son and thinking about grandchildren?
Right.
You know, so that's just one of those things that you're like, I never realized I had so many ideals already expecting out of this child.
Yeah.
Until you realize that it just might not happen. So how do we move forward from all of these, I say losses, but you know, it is a loss that you have to grieve and you have to lay down those dreams and pick up new ones. So it's a very big loss. How do we move forward in that?
Yeah. Well, I think it would help. Okay. So I feel like if I backtrack a little bit and I kind of tell you my expectations and sort of where I kind of moved from that place of being stuck in those expectations. So my personal expectations, you know, it was kind of derailed just like Sarah while I was pregnant. And I sort of went on a roller coaster, of what was going to happen with my firstborn Eli. And I remember my doctor noticed that the chin looked a little small. His arms and legs looked slightly shorter than average. But those weren't really the areas of concern. It was really the chin. So she sent me to a specialist. The specialist then said, oh, now his chin's fine. But he is going to be a midget. What? And you guys, I was distraught. My husband,
and you found this out during pregnancy, right?
Yes. And my husband was actually not even in town. I was, you know, and it was one of those appointments. I was like, it's not a big deal. You already had plans, like go is it, but he was devastated that he couldn't be there for me in that moment. And I remember being on the table, they were doing the ultrasound and it felt very cold as far as like their response to how I was feeling. It was just like, you know? Okay. And I remember I was sobbing on this table, just like, what am I supposed to do? What now? Like, I don't really know what to expect. They didn't give me any resources at the doctor's office. They didn't give me any kind of like, what do I do now? What to expect? I even had to ask like, well, what's the percentage? Like, what's the likelihood? Well, he's like, oh, 50-50 chance. It was just a very strange experience. And so it kind of started from there. And I remember going through this moment of like real grief where I was just like, I don't even want other people to know about this and talk to me and give me advice and encouragement, because I was so upset with the fact that like my child wasn't going to be considered normal. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I literally didn't even want anybody to be there for me because I was so upset about.
I can relate to that too.
Yes.
I remember finding out and I was given an opportunity to reach out to other families, you know, who had a child and with Down syndrome. And I just remember thinking like, what am I going to ask them? Like, yeah. it's not going to change how I feel, what's going on with my life. Like, so that's really hard. And then it's hard to talk to your other friends who aren't going through this because they definitely cannot relate. And I just felt like every time I told somebody I was just met with, oh, I'm so sorry. And right. I would just cry more. And,
at the time
looking
for me,
back, I wish I would have reached out to the community to see, you know, to talk to those parents, because you're fully embraced and it's different conversations that happen. But, you know, in those early moments, I was like, what are they even going to tell me? Like,
right.
That to make it better. Nobody can make it better.
Right. And at the time I didn't even have friends that had kids. So, you know, I didn't even have that support system in that way too. And I remember I had a friend tell one of her family members, and then that family member reached out to me to like try to offer encouragement, say they were praying for me and everything. And I was so angry that person had told other people. I mean, I was not ready to talk about it because I was so upset. Now, thankfully, Eli, you know, was not born as a midget or seems to have any difficulties with his growth, things like that. He's doing fine in that regards. But he was born with the cleft palate, diagnosed with a pararubin sequence, and then had some other complications as well, and wasn't able to breathe on his own when he was born. So
and he even had a cardiac defect, right?
Yep. He had two holes in his heart, one of which is still present. The other one has closed, praise God, but it is something that we're monitoring now. But he was rushed to the NICU. I remember laying there, and now, of course, I had a C-section, so there was a lot of drugs and things like that. So I wasn't quite comprehending the fact that this was really serious. And I remember hearing him cry. He did cry once and then was struggling. And I saw him being wheeled away because the doctor was like, did you see him? Because I didn't even see him then like show him to me when they brought him out. Because I had that big blanket and I was like, I didn't see him. And so they brought him around and I saw him, you know, in the little, you know, contraption. And I remember I was like, bye. See you later. And y'all, I remember feeling so guilty about that later. Like I should have realized that my son was struggling. Like, why didn't I comprehend it? But I do remember for a brief moment, my brain was like, Megan, wake up. Like, this is not, something's wrong. And I looked at Brad and I was like, go with him, stay with him. Keep your eyes on him. Like, I'll be fine. I'm here. Just go with him. And then I was back to all loopiness. It was like, my body was trying to fight this, you know, like comprehend what's happening right now. So, and then of course, everything from that moment being in the NICU and some of the other things that we experienced, you know, there were expectations of what it's like being a parent, becoming a parent, holding your child.
Expectations of what the hospital was going to be like.
Exactly. When you get to see your child, I was the last person to see my child. Mm-hmm. Everyone else saw him before I did. I remember breaking down in the room and I was like, I haven't even seen my baby, and everyone else has, because they were able to go visit him. And I remember telling the nurse, I said, go get me a wheelchair. I'm going down there now to see my son. And she was like, well, you have to wait so many hours before you can stand up. I said, I don't care. Go get me a wheelchair. She was like, okay. And I did. I stood up within hours of having C-section. I got up, got in my wheelchair, threw my catheter over me, and I went on over to down to the NICU. And y'all, so there was that expectation, seeing your child mm-hmm. for the first time. There was an expectation of holding your child for the first time. I was scared to hold my child for the first time because of all the monitors and the beeping and the cords. And I was deathly afraid I was going to knock something over or break something. And I was going to hurt him. Feeding your child for the first time, you know, my son needed to, you know, to be tube fed when he was born. And I had to learn how to feed that tube down his nose and down his throat so that he mm-hmm. could get food. Those were the kinds of things where I struggled with not having just a normal, you know, stepping into parenthood. I didn't have that normal experience.
And Eli's your first child too. So you didn't have any other like basis to go off of. Mm-mm. So that's even harder.
It is. And thank goodness for my husband, because he was a trooper and he really kept my spirits high and helped me through that and reminded me that, you know, these things that I was telling myself and feeling these guilt, the guilt of like, I shouldn't have had a C-section. I shouldn't have let the doctors take him when they did. I should have taken more vitamins. I should have gone on walks more.
We're going to have a whole other episode about guilt.
My gosh. Yeah.
Episode within itself.
Exactly. Cause there's so much of that, but I did go through so many of those expectations of what it should have looked like for me. Mm-hmm. And you did too. You've told me even from as early as, that photo, you remember your photo that you
Which
took?
Photo?
So remember the photo of you announcing your pregnancy?
Oh yes. Yes. So we did an announcement photo and, you know, that we didn't know that we hadn't received that phone call yet. That was about a month before we received the phone call about Emmett. Mm-hmm. But, I always look back at that photo now and I feel so much guilt and so much like that person, like I'm not even that person anymore. And I like grieve, you know, who that person was. So we're going to talk about some of that too, like looking yeah. back before you were changed and grieving the person that you were, before you've, you know, changed and morphed into this super mom that you are now. But, you know, I think our stories are a little bit different and, you know, that was your experience in the hospital and, you know, me finding out about Emmett prenatally, as a nurse and a healthcare professional, you know, my mind was, you know, he's going to have a NICU stay. He's going to have possible, you know, they told me he might have heart surgery when he was like 2 or 3 days old from what they found on ultrasounds. Mm. You know, I was like, I'm not going to be able to breastfeed him. He's going to be tube fed. Like we're going to have all these problems. And I kind of went down this rabbit hole of grieving before it even happened. And Emmett is my second child. So with my first child, I had this like normal birth experience, which was amazing. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to have any of this with him. It's going to be so different. And that's when my family and friends, like they started really praying about like what was going to happen with Emmett. And, you know, we found out a month before he was born that my husband was going to be leaving and he was actually going to be gone, for a 4-month training academy, in a different state. When my son was going to be born with a potential NICU stay and cardiac surgery. So that is a whole nother thing. But my family and my friends, they really started coming together and just like praying over Emmett. And, you know, I just want to shed light that while your story, you know, that road can happen too. But also like, don't be so set on your expectations, because in my situation, I was so set on all these things unfolding so badly and, you know, terrible, which you should be ready to be expecting those. But honestly, when Emmett was born, he was induced and, we were discharged within 24 hours after he was induced and he stayed by my bedside the whole time. He breastfed. We never had a tube down his nose. He didn't have to have heart surgery. So, you know, I would just encourage those who are sitting in that position right now, just pray. Like nothing is beyond our God's movement and his healing. Like he will still heal and provide you everything you need. So I encourage you guys in that aspect as well.
Yeah, that's such an important note to make, because though we've had to walk through what those expectations look like and sort of what came after that, it was really just recognizing that this wasn't it. This didn't have to be it. And that it was, you know, there was so much more to God's plan for our children than our own expectations of who they were going to be and what they were going to do and how life was going to be for them. And so, you know, actually I'll share a quote that my mom shared with me whenever, when I was pregnant with my son, that has stuck with me, and I've shared with other parents too. And it sort of touches on this whole expectation, of not just pregnancy and having children, but just like the expectation of them in this world, right? Cause this world is a crazy one. But I remember telling my mom, I said, God, I'm so afraid to bring my son into this world. And, you know, the world is cruel, and knowing that your son is going to potentially have complications and struggle with some aspects, like my son and his speech, you know, being afraid that he's going to be picked on and he's going to struggle, or just anything in life, just even without any kind of disability or impairment, I worry about him. And so I remember telling my mom, I'm so afraid to bring him into this world, and that he's going to be changed by the world in a negative way. Right. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, and I'm gonna try not to get emotional, she says, Megan, she said, what if instead of being changed by the world, he changes the world? And through God, he changes the world, that he has an impact on the world. The world doesn't impact him.
I'm going to start tearing up.
Right. And I was like,
it's powerful.
Now my mama has had three children, and she's lived, she's lived her life, and she's been through things, and she's an empty nester now. Bless her heart. Us moving away definitely made that even more difficult. My youngest sister got married, and then, right when we did that, we moved to South Florida. So she doesn't even have her grandkids there now. So anyways, but my mom is very wise, and she has, I always go to her a lot for advice. And so that was a piece of advice that she gave me that really has changed my perspective when it came to expectations, when it came to, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to be so hard. Oh my gosh, it's going to be this. Oh my gosh. Or, you know, or just dealing with the fact that like, it's not the way you thought it was going to be. But that's okay, because
it is
God, God has a much bigger plan for our children than we could ever conjure up. Actually, in our minds.
That quote really reminds me of something that really stuck out to me. I listened to Bill Johnson. He is a pastor at Bethel preach. And he said, you know, you look at the children, and instead of having this expectation, you realize that God has given them their own calling. And so when you speak life into your children, you speak into that calling that is already there. It's already there. So when you speak into it, you're just bringing it out. And so when you realize, like, when you give up your own wants for your child and you say, okay, God, you know, you have a plan for them, and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to speak life into that, and it's going to evolve, and it's going to be beautiful. And it might not be anything like I thought it was going to be, but you know, like you say, and like it says in the Bible, like your ways are greater than my ways. Like his ways are greater than ours. So,
and that's a foundation. That is a strong one of being rooted in that, and that understanding and that faith in Jesus and what he's in control. I've written about this. I wrote about the story. I think we posted it to the blog, right? On Love That Surprises, talking about our expectations, like letting go of the basket and trusting God with our children. And you should definitely go check that out. Blog. Right. Hands down, my most favorite thing I've ever written, but, you shared a quote with me before too. It was about, what was it? I have it written down, and I wanted to make sure we brought it up. I have my notes here, so just mind you, but
I want you to talk about the blog post for just a second.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is such a great post.
Oh my gosh. Well, without going into too much detail, cause it's a detailed one, but it does talk about, how it really talks about,
It's about Moses's mom. Yeah.
Yep.
And how she trusted the Lord.
Yep. She trusted the Lord to let go of that basket and send him down the Nile. And because of her faith and because of her trust in the Lord not only protected him and not only brought him safety and a home and a mother who could take care of him and love him, but also brought his mom to that place so that she could care for him as his mother, just unknowingly that it was his mother, but nonetheless was able to allow her to nanny him essentially so she could be in his life. But of course we all know that Moses goes on to do wonderful things and goes on to save so many people. And that's really the big point in all of this and why we let go and give our children back to God, because what God can do with them and through them is huge. I mean, you can speak to so many people, could touch so many people, could save so many people and point them to Christ. Cause ultimately that's what we want for our children, is for them to be a light and in the midst of this very dark world. And so if we cling to them so tightly and like, no, I can't send him down that Nile. I mean, crocodiles are going to eat him. And that goes against every grain in your body to let go of your child and to send him down the river in a basket. But yet she did it because she knew that God was ultimately in control and she trusted him, and look what ended up happening because of it. And so,
and I want to say that this road, when you do let go, it's not always easy. Mm-mm. And, this reminds me of when I had just found out I was pregnant with Hayden. And, I remember I was in the shower and I just remember saying to God, okay, God, like I surrender her life back to you. Mm-hmm. I surrender her life back to you. And then I just had this knowing, knowing is one of the ways that you can hear from God. And I just had this knowing that like he was going to answer that prayer. Hold on one second. I got to pause. My cat is like crying at the door.
I have an airplane going over, so I muted myself. This is what happens when you have a podcast and you don't have a studio. You're just two moms recording in your bedroom, or in my case, in my RV, in the middle of a very loud area. There's literally an airport right down the road, so I mute myself often because of that. And Sarah is hiding in her bedroom because her husband's home working, and we all know that's awkward doing these kind of things and with an audience. But okay. I'm just talking to the people, the imaginary people here, because if we use this as a blooper, it would be nice to share that with people. So, because this is the reality of the situation, it's two moms working with what they got, you know.
Yes. Okay. I have a Bengal cat and he gets very, they're very vocal. So I just put him outside and hopefully he doesn't sneak back in. I'm sure my husband will let him back in, but because he gets very annoying.
Okay. So go back to what you were talking about. We were talking about the Nile and sending our children and trusting God and all of that.
Yes. So I just specifically remember like having this knowing from God that he was going to answer that prayer and that Hayden was going to be here in this world to do something like really big. And she has a big calling on her life. But then afterwards, I remember literally thinking like, what have I just done? Like, this might not be easy. Like, this might be really hard. Like, what have I just signed myself up for? And a little backstory on my daughter, you know, I don't want to go into too much detail. I try not to because, you know, it's her privacy and it's her story to tell, but it's definitely not always been easy on us. My AirPods are about to die. it's not always been easy on us. So Hayden, I noticed she wasn't waving or mimicking around a year. It wasn't really addressed. She didn't have any words. And then around 18 months or 15 months, actually, I signed her up for therapy through the state program in Tennessee and early intervention. We got her started with speech therapy and occupational therapy. And it's just kind of been ongoing from there. And there's been a lot of really hard conversations between me and my husband, between me and therapist, developmental pediatrician appointments, and it's been very difficult. And she did not start talking until she was almost three. She's doing so well now, and I just cannot even believe, like, some of the stuff that she says now, I'm just like in awe, in total awe. But it's been very, very challenging. Not on her. She's like totally fine. And like everybody who meets her, it describes her as joyous. Like, she is amazing.
She is, but like, her smile. Very- Y'all.
She lights up a room. Like, she mm-hmm. can turn a room around. But emotionally, for me and my husband, it's been a very like separate hard journey. And so that's another component of me getting Emmett's prenatal diagnosis. I was already deep in therapy appointments with my daughter at that time. And I just remember thinking, he's going to have so many more doctor's appointments and therapies. Like, how am I even going to do this? I'm drowning already with my work schedule. But it's so interesting how God has used her story, because that's another big component of this ministry and why I want to see it open to all communities in the disability community, because it's not only the Down syndrome community that needs it. It's so many more families. And Hayden really has made that bridge and that connection for me personally, to open this door. So, I'm just so excited. And, you know, giving your children up to God might not be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And mm-hmm. the journey that Hayden mm-hmm. has led me down, and praying over her and seeing God move and heal her, and give her words and a voice, has just been incredible. Something I can't even put into words how much it's moved me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, just, I remember meeting her for the first time, and she wasn't saying very much when I first met her, just mm-hmm. enough. I mean, she was able to say my name and stuff like that, which I'm like obsessed with. I'm going to make it my phone ringtone or whatever. But I remember she wasn't saying a ton, but then like shortly after that, I mean, I remember, like, you know, praying over her, praying over Emmett. We're, you know, you're praying, I'm praying, like all this different stuff, and just encouraging each other and things like that. And I'll tell you what, I felt like it almost like an overnight thing where suddenly you have an airplane going over again. I'm sorry. She is like leaps and bounds, has just yes. developed so much in her speech and what she's doing now. I mean, it's just been such a beautiful thing to watch her grow and learn all these new words. And you know, just, I think it, with that, we're going to continue to see how God uses that. I joke all the time, you know, with Eli and his surgery, because we had to repair all of that in his mouth. And there was a lot that went into that. And I joke all the time. I said, God's going to use something with that. Like, he's going to speak to the world and use the very same thing that was meant to destroy him, that was meant to hold him back. You know what I'm saying? That beautiful verse was, what was meant to destroy me, God used for good. So it's like, that's exactly what, I really believe that he's going to do is, and I mean, he did already even when he was born. We didn't touch a little bit on this yet, in the first episode, but when he was born, you know, we're a very modest family. We don't really come from a lot, but the hospital stays and giving birth is already expensive, but you add an EQ stay on top of that, and a long NICU stay at that, it's expensive. And it can really be a part of that struggle during that time when you're trying to provide the best care for them and help them. But at the same time, in the back of your mind, you're like, how am I going to be able to pay for this? How are we going to be able to, you know, handle this? And when he was born, we had so many people come together in our community and across the world, people I've never even met, came together and raised funds to help our family. And they paid for his entire medical bills. That's incredible. Yeah. And I remember having people praying over us. There were other nurses and staff who came and visited us that heard about our story that weren't even working with us, who came and prayed with us. And I remember there were times in that stay where they would say, well, he's not going to be able to do this. And then he would do it. And I would have nurses say like, no, you know, God says, like, this is what God says. And so like, we were seeing these things happen and it was just so cool. And I felt like even at a day old, 2 days old, a week old, God was using him to just show the world that like, you know, what it just God getting, being there and being a part of his journey and bringing people together and just seeing God work in all of this. And so that in and of itself was already a magnificent thing. So I can only imagine what God's going to do with both of our children, because not only have we personally said, here you go, God, they're yours. but at the same time, like just knowing their hearts and who they are as little, you know, little miniature, humans, just seeing them flourish and grow. And I can already see it now with both of them just, and we've joked about this too, about Hayden and Eli being, you know, they're going to be two peas in a pod they're probably going to be doing amazing things together. I hope that would be nice. But anyways, I say all that to say that
the turning point is when you say, okay, I give up my expectations. Mm-hmm. God, I surrender to you. And then you just watch him move. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here to tell you about this episode. You surrender your children and you watch him move and you wait for him to move and you say, okay, God, I know you're going to move. And he does.
Yeah. And in that there's a process, there's a journey and it's an ongoing one. Mm-hmm. And so I have a verse on my wall that it's become one of my favorite verses and one that I lean on a lot in all of my life circumstances, but it's be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And that's Romans 12:12. And so you have to remain in those things, through that process of, cause it's not just I would love it if I could just say, here you go. Yep. Taking that off. I would say it's been that easy, but it hasn't. There have been times where I'm like, actually, you know, can I hold on to that for a little bit longer? I think I have a way that I think maybe I can address this and deal with it. Oh, no. You want to do this instead? Are you sure? You know, like, is that really the best? So it's been hard sometimes to let go of.
It has been. Yeah.
So it's a continuous thing. It's a continuous practice of saying, wait a minute, I'm handing this over to God. God's got this. I need to remember who's in control.
Because you're not going to be able to carry it. You can't carry it on your own. And that's when you realize that you cannot carry this weight and you say, mm-hmm. I give this to you. You're actually, it reminds me of this verse when you're building your house on a rock. There's a parable.
Yes. That's what I was talking about earlier. I really want people to hear this.
In Matthew, building your house on a rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock, which is in Christ and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them is a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And you guys, these things will come. They will come. But the sand house, it fell and the fall of it was great. So if we build our house on this rock, we're not going to fall. We're not going to fall. Whatever winds come, it's not going to blow us over.
Yeah. The storms of life.
That's how we want to end this today. Mm-hmm. With just encouraging guys to surrender and build your house on that rock. And, you're just going to see your house flourish.
Yes. Okay. So, do we want to kind of just touch base on what are we going to see in the next episode? What do people have to look forward to? So I think we've come up with a title, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be The Desolate Pit, right? So what is
The Desolate Pit?
What's that about?
That is just about hopelessness in this place. And how do we get out of that desolate pit? How do we move forward? How do we climb out of it? It's dark. And how do we see the light? So I hope you guys tune in to this next episode. It's going to be a great one. can't wait to see you guys there. And don't forget, if you want to check out our website, it's www.lovethatsurpasses.org. You can follow me on my personal Instagram at Love That Surpasses, follow the ministry's website on Love That Surpasses Ministries. How about you, Megan? How can people follow you?
Yeah, you can find me over on Instagram anywhere that there's a social media account, right? So Megan Bushlon, and then also Chasing the Sun, S-O-N, as in our father and his son. I kind of go into a little bit more about my behind the scenes in my life and things like that. So definitely follow there, because we do talk, I do share a little bit of the podcast there as well, and just Love That Surpasses. So yeah. And so what we have other things too, Sarah, that we do. And I think that we should mention that we have a newsletter that is really awesome. We talk about a lot of different ways that you can get involved. So you definitely want to make sure. Yep. You want to make sure to stay on top of that, because we'll let you know, hey, an episode's out, or we might let you know a way that you can get involved. We have something coming up soon where we get people to tag us in their photos. We're always doing something. So I highly encourage you to subscribe there as well, where you'll get more information.
And you can subscribe by going to our website, www.lovethatsurpasses.org.
Exactly.
Sign up.
So definitely check us out over there too. And then if you're watching this, podcast, this on YouTube.
Yeah, this podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, and on YouTube. You can actually watch us record this podcast on YouTube.
Yes, I hope y'all are. And definitely comment below if you enjoyed watching it on YouTube. That feedback's really awesome. We'd love to hear it. I know a lot of people, sometimes it's easy to listen to it on through, you know, your phone or on the way to work, but sometimes people want to see our faces and they want to feel like they're in the room with us. So if you are watching on YouTube, we'd love to hear from you. So make sure you comment below. If you have a similar experience to us, we'd love to hear it as well, and just touch base, and hopefully we can have some voiceovers and messages here so we can share that, answer questions. So if you'll have questions, let us know, and we'll try to feed them into some of the other episodes as well. So
okay. Should we end with a closing prayer?
Yes, let's do that. You prayed last time. Should I pray this time? Are you going to make me pray? No, I'm okay. I love to pray. Okay. So, all right, y'all, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity, bringing Sarah and I together today and allowing us to be able to talk about some of these things, talk about where we've been through and how you've helped us and how you've held our hands through this crazy life, Lord, and allowing us to be able to share that with others in hopes that it will shine a light in their life, and that in turn it'll ignite the light in them, and then they can turn and turn be a light to others, Lord. So allow us to help do that, Lord. Speak through us. I hope that you speak to their hearts and encourage them today, Lord. I pray safety and joy over these individuals who are listening, safety to and from wherever they're going, wherever they're listening to the podcast. I pray that they have a beautiful, joyful day, and that this this podcast allowed them to kind of start the day off right, or end the day better, so they have a fresh start tomorrow. Lord, I just pray that you continue to allow us to do this and to continue to speak to all these people. And we appreciate you so much. We're so grateful, and thank you for everything. And I pray all these things in your name. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
I forget sometimes that you know, I'm not just having a conversation with God, with it's just me and him. So I'll go on a tangent when I pray sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, there are other people waiting for me to finish. So, all right, y'all. So thank you so much. I can't wait to see you in episode three.
Bye.
Bye.